Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Gail Gower with Rhyme the Word. Tonight we're going to look at God will use whatever you have. So let us pray and then we'll get started. Father God, we just ask that you just speak to us, Lord. Just open our hearts, Father, that we can hear from you and help us to know that whatever we have, that it can be used for your glory, Lord, and just show us what we have to use that we can reach people. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Our scriptures tonight are found in John chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have one bite." Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, "There's a boy here with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will that go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. This verses tell us about how Jesus used a boy's lunch of just five small loaves and two fish to feed 5,000 men. The problem that we see is how to feed such a large crowd of people. Four solutions were brought forth. First, the disciples suggested that Jesus send the people away. The second came from Philip, and it said, "Raise enough money to buy food for the people." The third came from Andrew, when he found a small boy who had lunch of fish and barley cakes. But the fourth came from Jesus, and it was the true solution. He took the little boy's lunch, blessed it, broke it, and handed it out to his disciples, and they fed the whole crowd. When I studied these verses, these questions came to my mind. How big are five small barley loaves? Why did the boy have so much food? Was barley a good grain or a cheap grain? How did Andrew know about the food? Was the boy alone? Was he supposed to be there? And how old was the boy? And I tried to answer these questions, but the Bible does not tell us much about the boy or how this miracle affected his life. But we know that when Jesus moves into our lives, it changes our lives forever. So I tried to find out about the age of the boy, but I found out this information in one of the commentaries. It said, "This boy may have been a teenager or even someone in his early 20s, though he may have been younger as well." So that didn't really give me any information. But one of the things that came to my attention during this study is the scripture states 5,000 men. Now, in that day and time, the women and children were not counted. And in Matthew 14:21 tells us there was 5,000 men besides women and children. Some estimates were there could have been as many as 20,000 people there. However, most of the information I found, estimates talk about between 7 to 10,000 people, since verse 10 talks about 5,000 men. When I was researching for a study, I tried to find as much information as I can through different commentaries, different translations of the Bible, and I listen to messages that might be about this subject or on these scriptures. And I found a message by Christine Kane when she was visiting Life Church in Oklahoma City. Excuse me. And she made this comment that I thought was very interesting. She said, "A little boy who was not counted gave the five loaves and the two fish to feed the 5,000 people." I thought that brought out a really interesting point, because this was someone that was not even counted in with the group, yet what he used was what was blessed to feed everyone. And the feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. But in verses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke bring out a point that John does not. An example is found in Matthew 14, 15 through 21. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it is already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He then gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So these got that Jesus, looking up to heaven, gave thanks. I just really like the thought of Jesus just going before the Lord, before God, and just saying thank you for what you have given us. And then the Lord just multiplied that and took care of everyone. So here's something to think about. Do you think out of all those people, only one person, the little boy, was the only one to have food? Or was the boy the only one who was willing to share? But that is truly a lot of people for only one person to have food with them. Let's think about the travel during that time. There would have been markets in town where food could have been purchased, but that would have cost money. And the people also would have been used to preparing food to carry with them when they were going on a journey. There were no convenience stores nearby, no 7-Elevens around the corner, no McDonald's or Jack in the Box to stop and buy a burger or fries. So these people would have to carry their food with them or purchase food in the villages whenever they traveled. So do you think there are other people in the crowd that would have had food but were not willing to share? What about the women with the children, the mothers with those children? Do you think those mothers left their house without taking along some food for the kids? I remember when my son was young, I usually carried something for him to snack on in case I was caught somewhere doing something and I couldn't get something for him to eat, and he got hungry and upset, and I didn't want him crying and I didn't want him hungry, so I would normally carry food with him, with me, to give to him at times. And this study that I titled "God Can Use What You Have" really hit home with me because of my writing the rhymes. And I write Bible stories into rhymes, and some of the rhymes I've shared with you all. And I'm not good at writing. I'm not good at following the guidelines of writing poetry. I know I'm not good with grammar. And one day I was complaining to one of my coworkers and saying, "I don't know why I write these rhymes. I don't know what I'll ever do with them. Why is it that whenever I study, it always seems to end up in a rhyme?" And she just looked at me and said, "It's because you love God." And I thought, you know what? That's it. I write because I love God. I study because I love God. I share the rhymes and minister to other people. Even if they don't minister to the crowds, maybe they can minister to just a few, or even if they could ever just reach one person. But let me read you a comment by the commentary from Tom Wright called "John for Everyone." It says, "Philip doesn't know what to do. Andrew doesn't either, but he brings the boy and his bread and fish to Jesus' attention. The point is obvious, but we perhaps need to be reminded of this. So often we ourselves have no idea what to do, but the starting point is always to bring whatever there is to the attention of Jesus." And I thought that that was extremely important, because we need to take whatever we have and bring it before the Lord. So we see that whenever people come up against a problem, how they handle it. And finding out about the people in need, we get a look at how people tend to view their problems. So when Jesus asked Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Philip's reply was so typical of how we first react. He looked at the problem and wondered how he could handle it within his own means. And that is often just like us. Whenever we come up against a situation, we look at that situation and we wonder, how are we going to handle it? But to Philip, the situation was way beyond their means. Verse 7, Philip states, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each person to have a bite. He's not even talking about the people getting full. He's talking about just to have one bite. The book of John gives many interesting facts regarding the story. And one of the facts is the two fish that Andrew found were definitely small. And several of the commentaries referred to these fish as tiny sardines. And these fish were probably dried or preserved or perhaps even pickled. And the boy's simple lunch of bread and fish shows something seemingly useless and how important it can become in the hands of Jesus. The five small barley loaves and the two fish, the common word for bread are taros, usually designates a wheat bread, but here it refers to a bread made of barley. And barley was a common food for the poor. It had a lower gluten content, a lower extraction rate, less desirable taste, and rendering it the staple of the poor. And whenever I was researching this, I was trying to find out information about barley and about bread and how they made their bread and how their life was, because I feel like if we understand more about the situation at that point in time in their lives, then we have a better understanding of what this miracle meant to those people and how they reacted to it. And some of the things I found was that a coarse meal was ground from wheat or barley. American corn was unknown. Barley bread was less appetizing, but also less expensive and therefore common among the poor. Grinding was done by a mortar and pestle or a millstone turned by an animal or human. The meal or flour was mixed with water, salt, sometimes leaven or yeast, sometimes olive oil, but rarely with other cereals or vegetables, and it was then kneaded. Making of the bread was usually the work of the wives or daughters, although in wealthy households, it was done by the slaves. The larger cities or royal courts had professional bakers that bread could be purchased from. And there were three means of baking the bread: on heated rocks, with the dough being covered with ashes, on a clay or iron griddle or pan, or in a clay or iron oven. And most bread was so baked, it had the appearance of a disc about a half an inch thick and 12 inches in diameter. Sometimes it was perforated, and sometimes it had a hole in the middle for storing or carrying on a pole. The flour was mixed with the water and formed into a dough, dough cakes in a trough called a kneading trough. And salt was added in most days of the year. The leaven was also. The leaven was fermented dough from the previous day's baking. It took longer for that to penetrate the dough rather than the fresh yeast, but it was reserved for, the yeast was reserved for more of a festival time or after the unleavened bread. And some of the loaves were paper thin, and most were suitable for scooping up food from a pot, such as in a soup. And other loaves were heavier, like biscuits. And I thought it was interesting that the information I found referred to John 6:9, talking about the little boy and his lunch, as other loaves heavier like biscuits. So these would have been probably biscuit size loaves that the little boy had. The flour was mixed with water and dough and placed on a flat stone that had been heated. If the dough was to be leavened, a piece of dough from the previous day was put into the new dough, and the whole lump was left by the fire until the yeast in the old dough had permeated the whole loaf. It says paper-thin loaves, biscuit-sized loaves, and even heavier cakes of bread were all made this way. And for most people, their food was simple. Bread, olives, cheese, fruit, and vegetables formed their entire diet. And when working through this study, I asked God to give me some examples of things that I had in my life that were seemingly small or insignificant to me, but what God could use or did use in my life. And he gave me a wonderful example. About 17 years ago, I met a girl by the name of Sandra. Her parents were divorced, and she and her younger brother and sister lived with her father. And we became friends through the church we attended. Sandra would come over to the house. She and I would do things together. We used to bake cookies together. We did some sewing and quilting. She would go places with me. I took her shopping a couple of times. We would go out to eat. And I remember that my son, who was a couple of years older than her, thought she was weird since she wanted to come hang out with his mother, because that was not something that he certainly wanted to do. And I remember one year I bought Sandra and I a pair of matching Christmas socks. It was the kind, you know, that comes from Walmart that you probably should wear with boots. But she and I had matching socks, and that was an adventure for both of us. But over time, we lost touch with her and her family. And a couple of weeks ago, she was able to contact my son and said that she had been searching for me for years, and she told him that she was trying to contact me since I had made such a huge impact on her life. And I thought, wow, I had no idea. I was just her friend. We went places together. We went shopping or baked cookies. But I had no idea that God was using this friendship to make such an impression on a young girl. So let's think about the boy's lunch. Don't you think he had a testimony that he could tell for the rest of his life? So much so that people probably got sick of hearing it. I know when the Lord moves in my life in such a big way, I tell everyone I can and anybody who will listen. I've told people about Sandra contacting me, and I've told people of the story of when the storm hit our house. So I'll tell that one again. On May 1st, 2011, that was I believe it was a Saturday morning, or actually a Sunday morning. We had gotten up early, I had gotten up early to study my Bible. Keith was still asleep, so I came in my study and sat down. And my desk is in front of a window, so when I opened the blinds, I could see a storm in the distance. The lightning would light up the clouds, and it was just off in the distance where I could just kind of see it just a little bit. The Lord kind of led me to Psalm 61, and I felt like I was supposed to read the entire chapter, which is only 8 verses long. And then I was supposed to pray the entire chapter, centering on verse 4, which says, I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. So after I read and I prayed, I went about my study. And sometime later, it had begun to rain. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's a bad storm. Move away from the window. So I closed my Bible. I stood up. I turned. And I took about 2 steps. And when I did, the window next to me crashed in. The storm had blown our neighbor's carport off of her boat and had blown it all the way across a couple of acres of land. And it crashed into our house, into the window next to where I sat. And one of the supports from the carport also came through our roof and through the ceiling next to where my desk was. I knew without a doubt that God had saved me that day. If it would have crashed into the window where I sat, all of the glass from that window would have come right at me. And I measured the distance between the windows of where it hit and where I sat. It was only 57 and a half inches. I was so overwhelmed with that testimony that I told everyone. Anybody and everybody I could get to listen. Over and over I told it, and I'm still telling it today after all these years. When Jesus moves in our life, it changes us forever. Let me just say that one again. When Jesus moves in our lives, it changes us forever. So don't you think that little boy had a testimony to tell? What about all the other people who were there? They also had a testimony to tell about the goodness of God and how Jesus works in people's lives. So what about us? What do we have to use? It can be something as simple as baking cookies with a young girl, sharing a meal with someone, maybe a cup of coffee, or just sitting and listening to someone who's hurting. Something so small can have a huge impact on others' lives. So our something that is small can be used by Jesus. So what do you have? Do you have a testimony that you can share? Do you have change to buy a cup of coffee? Can you take the time to sit down and listen to somebody? Can we call someone on the phone if we don't have time to meet up with them? Can we just check on somebody that we know is hurting? I have a rhyme that I'd like to share with you from tonight's study that I wrote. It's titled, A Little Boy's Lunch. The little boy took his lunch as he did every day. With 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he went on his way. But Jesus would use the food in this little boy's lunch by blessing the loaves and the fish to feed the entire bunch. For the boy, the day was no different than the rest, though before it was over, he would certainly be blessed. Because Jesus took the offering the little boy had to give, broke it, and multiplied it to show the world how to live. The disciples were with Jesus, who was teaching a crowd on a hill. How could they get enough food for each person to have their fill? The disciples came to Jesus and asked him to send the people away. The people were hungry. It was a remote place and late in the day. How much food do you have is what Jesus would ask. Philip said it would take a half a year's wages to buy food for the task. The disciples thought they would need to buy food in town. But Jesus said to them, have the people sit down. Jesus took the boy's lunch, and looking to heaven, he began to pray. Then he told the disciples to give the loaves and fish away. 5,000 men saw the miracle and were fed, all from the lunch of 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The people would tell of the miracle that they saw that day when Jesus took something, blessed it, and gave it away. So what do you have to give away? Do you have some time, some effort? Can you just pray with someone? Can you talk to them about what God has done in your life? Or can you listen to them about what's going on in their life? Maybe it's a lunch that you need to share with someone. Maybe it's just some time. But whatever you have to share, God can use that, and he can multiply it, and he can make it reach the masses. But if it only reaches one, then it's worth it because it's reached that one. I thank you very much for joining me on Rhyme the Word, and we will talk to you again. Goodbye.